Welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I am Steve. He is
Larry.
Larry, my friend.
I am feeling like the level today will just be Larry. This is Larry level.
It's Larry level. No. It'll be awesome.
Steven, this is our last chapter.
Yep. It doesn't mean we're quitting. It just means we're done this.
Yeah.
We'll be back with something some other time. We don't know what yet, but we know.
No, by next week, we'll know for sure. I'll take a look around and, you know, and we'll come up with something glorious.
Oh.
Again. Anyway, let's do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to say that this is other than this is the end?
No. I think no. You just read that first part and away we go.
Folks, once again, we're in 2 Corinthians, and this time we're in chapter 13. It is the final chapter. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I will now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him in our dealing with you. Ooh, Paul's had enough.
Weird ending, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very strange. He says a couple things here that are kind of hard to figure out. You remember Peter said of Paul, he says some things that are hard to understand. So right. That kind of makes life a little easier for the rest of us if Peter didn't even understand them. So this is his third visit. So he's preparing now for the third visit, right? He's visited them twice. This is a letter to prepare for this final visit. And remember all through this book, he's been building up the church, kind of chewing them out a little bit, building them up a little bit, and then telling them that that he's going to tromp on these people that are actually being false prophets amongst them. You were just telling me this afternoon, Steve, about second or First John chapter 4, when he's talking about know the spirits, test the spirits. For there are prophets among you that are doing wrong, right? And these have the spirit of Antichrist. And in that case, Antichrist could be opposed to Christ, or it could be in place of Christ. Mm. It could be either of those with the term anti. In English, anti just means opposed to, opposite of, change. Okay. You know, but in Greek, it could go either way a little bit. But anyway, here he says, "I've got my third visit. I'm coming to you." And everything is established by two or three witnesses. This is weird. He says it's established by two or three witnesses. I gave you a warning. I was with you a second time, and now I'm repeating it. So that doesn't sound like two or three witnesses. That sounds like I have now told you three times. It's not the same thing, Paul. I don't know what the truckers are doing. It's not the same thing, and yet he's made it the same thing. He said, I have witnessed to you of this thing now three times, and that establishes it, right? Even though I'm the same witness every time, I am establishing this. And on my return, I'm not going to spare those who sinned. So remember, they were saying different things. He was too harsh. And then later they said, the guy's got no strength in him at all. Mm, he's a weak pastor. He's no good.
Yeah.
And Paul says, when I come back, I will deal with these people. Now, here's the weird thing. He says, on my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, he is not dealing weak in dealing with you, but is powerful. It's so odd what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
he's kind of saying, I'm going to come back and I'm going to deal with them quite harshly. He doesn't give you any idea what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think it means he's going to come and he's going to kick them out of the church.
Yep.
Right. Like John Calvin did. Remember the church opposed John Calvin and he went up one day and excommunicated the whole church, yep. Kicked them all out. Yep. And the Calvinists have been sort of that way ever since.
Don't leave angry. Actually, we don't care. Just leave.
No. Just, you know, don't let it hit you on the way out. That's all. And if you do, we don't even care about that. But then he says, Christ isn't weak in dealing with people, and neither will I be. Hmm. And he said he was crucified in weakness, which is weird, eh? Mm-hmm. He was crucified, yet he lives by God's power. So he seemed weak when he was crucified, but he is living by God's power. Mm, I like that. That's not quite like Revelation where he says, you know, I heard of the lion and I turned and saw the lamb who was slain to say how much power Christ had on the cross. Here he's sort of saying it, but not quite. Mm, and then he says, likewise, we're weak with him. Yet by God's power, we will live with him in our dealing with you. So I'm going to come and I'm going to tell them what's what. Yeah. I'm not going to say, you know, it's okay what you're doing. I'm going to come and I'm going to tell them off to their face thoroughly and completely.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Eh? It's a weird mix of words and it's kind of hard to follow.
Is the Greek just as bad as like the English translation of it? Is the Greek as hard to follow as the English is?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. The words are there the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And since I didn't just read it in Greek, you kind of put me on the spot.
But, no. We're gonna fall back to your immense knowledge on that one. So that's you're fine.
Yeah. I'm always a little cautious of the Greek because I don't want to throw out Greek stuff and make people feel like, yeah. Oh, we can't understand this if we don't have Greek. Because the English translators have really done a good job.
Oh, nice.
In the New International, the NASB, which is my favorite.
Okay.
Because it's more wooden, but it's more true to the Greek.
I get you.
The translators have picked up what this thing is saying. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? And unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may have seemed to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things to you when I'm absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not tearing you down.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. He says, examine yourself and see if you're part of the faithful ones. Examine yourself to see if you're Christians, really is what he's saying. So he's not saying examine yourself to see how faithful you are. He's actually saying examine yourself to see if you are serving Christ. Jesus is in you unless you fail the test.
Yeah.
and then he's not. Yeah. Right. And what is the test? The test is, I would say, the test is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior or not?
Right.
Now James would say, and what are you doing for orphans and widows? And, you know, what are you doing about your tongue? And Matthew would say, are you living a righteous life? And Paul would not go against any of those things. He would say, well, just take a look at yourself. You can tell if you're serving Christ or not.
Right.
It's kind of tough that way. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that the people will see that we have stood the test. So what about us? We have stood the test, and you know we've stood the test, right?
Right.
And we are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong, and in our prayer that you may be fully restored. He's kind of suggesting they've slipped away a little bit, hasn't he?
Yes.
that they've kind of backed off a little bit. And he says, I want you to be fully restored to this faith that you have, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This stuff that you've been doing with these super apostles has been ticking me off, but it's been bothering me because it's dragged you away from your own faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember in 1 Corinthians, he's saying stuff about the gifts of the Spirit and how you respond in the gifts of the Spirit and all that. And he's saying, you know, you're handling all that well, but what about your love? Yep. You know, I'm not seeing that. Yeah. And we can get carried away in spiritual things and forget about caring about each other.
Right.
Yeah. And stop listening to these guys. He's got, oh boy, my voice cracked there.
It was
stop
good.
Listening to these, to these lowly people. And that's why I'm writing these things while I'm absent. I don't want to be harsh. Now, isn't that funny? He says again, I don't want to be harsh with you when I come.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to use my authority, which I obviously have from God, this God-given authority. I don't want to use this against you. Those other guys in the church, I am going to beat them to a pulp. But you guys, I want to leave you so that you're okay, right? I want you to be okay.
Yeah.
We'll get rid of this nonsense when I get there.
Yeah.
And then you'll be okay. And I've come to build you up. I'm not tearing you down. But those guys, you wait. You know, I'm going to bring I'm going to bring Samson with me.
Such a contrast.
They'll use
right?
their own jawbones against them.
Yeah. Well, such a contrast between the first and second paragraphs here, right? You know, Paul, I'm going to come and it's not going to be pretty. And then, hey, I'm going to come and, you know, I really hope that I don't have to say some bad stuff, but, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do.
Yeah, I think he really wants them to know that he is the authority.
Yeah.
And that he is there for them, right? And but he's not there for those guys who have come in and have turned against the word that he had brought them.
Yeah.
And he's desperately trying to bring this church back around. Yeah. He'd really like them to kick those guys out before he gets there.
Yeah.
Is what he'd like to see.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think. But yeah, it's funny, eh? He's got to show his power and his strength as their leader. And yet he's got to show his care and his concern as their leader.
Mm.
I think leadership in those days was pretty much the crap job it is today.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Completely. Actually. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you just love yourself and then you do okay as a leader.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a narcissist, leadership's easy.
The job's made for you.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Sociopaths and narcissists sign up here. But for those of us who actually care, leadership is tough.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
And that's what Paul's finding. And he's trying to get them ready. And this is, now we're into final greetings, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So verse 11 now, folks. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Yeah. Very European, you know.
Yeah.
North Americans don't do this holy kiss thing.
No.
Like, we just don't. I think I was watching some Olympic games and the coaches were kissing the athletes. And I thought, yeah, that's not our thing.
Don't you love in figure skating that the little couch that they sit on is called the kiss and cry area? It's a true story. Anyway, I don't mean to pull us off, but I couldn't.
No, I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And if it was, you know, if it was a church pew, they could call it a holy kissing cry. So finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. So you remember before he was talking about that guy that they kicked out of the church,
mm-hmm.
who was, you know, having improper sexual relations, as far as we know.
Yep.
And then Paul had to say, you know, it's time to bring him back, right?
Right.
And but he's talking to the whole church now, and he's saying, you know, you need to be restored and encourage one another and live in peace, and God of peace will be with you. And then he says, you know, be good to each other, greet one another properly. And all God's people send their greetings. All God's people send their greetings. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people he was with at the time, because he wasn't with that many, was he? Was this written from Ephesus?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to think back now. I think it was. Okay. Yeah. We'll say Ephesus. And the grace of Jesus be with you, and the fellowship of the ring be with you all. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the end of the book. So it's been a book, Steve, where he's tried to bring his church that he has pastored and given himself for, and he's trying to bring them along so that they don't fall away and fall into all of these errors. These guys had to go from church to church, right? And they had to leave untrained people behind them. And so the church kept falling right into all these errors,
right,
that they had to deal with. So, and Paul's ready to go back, and that's the end of the book. Very pastoral, isn't it?
Yeah. And kind of language that we don't often see today. I will come, and I will be harsh if I need to be.
Well, we can't, right? We can't in where I work right now, you can't. You couldn't be harsh with someone.
Right.
But the way he's being harsh, you might get away with. Maybe. Yeah. But in those days, I mean, you know, you could kill people. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira?
Yes.
Was it Ananias and Sapphira that were killed? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is this the full amount? They said, like, the youth group went out and buried them as a kind of a. Yes, it is. Well, it's not. And, you know, and it was yours to do anything you wanted with, but because you lied to us,
yeah,
you know, the kids are going to take you out and bury you as a kind of as a youth thing to do. The youth are going to take you out and bury you.
Come to Youth Friday night. Well, we'll bury those that have lied to the Lord.
And then members had a great fear fell upon the church. Well, duh. Yeah. And so that's the type of place where Paul lived.
Right.
Life and death were easy. And, you know, around the world today, I think life and death is still as easy as it was then.
Yeah.
We just live in North America. We live in a bit of a false economy where we can, where we can afford morality and we can afford to act righteous.
Yeah.
I don't know how we'd be if we fell apart the way they have around the world.
Yeah.
I think the stability we have is very, it's shaky.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I think the morality that we have is something that we can afford, but we may not always afford it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely right.
And that was the world that Paul lived in, where those things were going on. But then, like they said, around the world, I mean, you know, human trafficking of all sorts is rampant around the world.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, Paul's going to go back, and he just wants them to live for Jesus.
Yeah.
In all of the things that are going on in Corinth, he says, you know, I just want you to live for Jesus, guys.
Yeah. Not a bad conclusion to that. Paul's begging them, come back. You know, I spoke to you about all these things I wanted you to do in 1 Corinthians. There's a missing letter. And then, why have you allowed this? Do I need to come there and just be a grouch? And yes is the answer. But live for Jesus. Would you please live for Jesus? My friend, that's fantastic. Thank you for leading us through this book. Folks, we are, as always, we're so excited that you listen. It's fun for us to actually know that people listen to us. And just that we have the joy of doing this. So thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. Tell your friends. It's the best thing. We're not going to do much more than that in terms of our marketing campaign. It's simply go tell your friends. And if they listen to, we're pretty happy with that.
How do they give, Steve? How do they give to our ministry?
Yeah. You can find us somewhere and just send us cold hard cash, actually, is what we're looking for. But yeah, we'll be back next week, or at least thereabouts, and with some other book that we'll decide to tackle on, or maybe even a theme, who knows. And we'll be back in 7 days' time, Lord willing, and we'll go from there. Until then, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalary Podcast.